पवित्रा 7.8 रसोऽहमप्सु कौन्तेय प्रभास्मि शशिसूर्ययो प्रणवः सर्ववेदेषु शब्दाख्ये पौरुषं नृषु। Here Krishna begins the description of description through examples of how he is the essence of everything. In the previous verse he has stated in 7.7, Sutre Mani Ganaiva, just as the thread underlies and unifies the jewels, similarly Mai Sarvamidam Protam, I am the underlying thread that unifies all of existence. So that how he is the underlying thread of everything, that he will be illustrating through various examples in verses 8 to 11. So here he states, Rasohamapsu Kaunteya, I am the taste of water. Now, from the biochemical point of view, water is often thought of as tasteless. But that is a incomplete analysis based on certain preconceived definitions of taste. People think that, oh, you have to put something in water. You know, maybe you take a cold drink, take a soft drink, take a warm drink. You put something in the water and then take the liquid. Don't just take water. However, water itself is what enables us to access all tastes. It is generally when we see some delicious item or we smell a delicious item, at that time our mouth starts watering. What does that mean? Mouth starts secreting, the tongue starts secreting saliva, the whole mouth becomes ready to eat the food. So basically what it reflects is that we need water, moisture in the form of saliva, which enables us not just to chew and soften the food so as to begin the digestive process as it enters the mouth, but actually as it enters the alimentary canal. But more importantly, it is the water that is secreted in the tongue that enables us to taste food. If the tongue does not secrete any saliva, if the mouth does not start watering, then even if food is placed on it, the food may go in through the tongue down the neck and it will nourish us, but we will not be able to taste it. So even from the biofunctional point of view for our body, water is what makes taste accessible. That is with respect to the sense which we taste, and that is the tongue. And similarly with respect to sense object, certain objects may be juicy, certain objects may be soft, certain objects may be crisp, whatever they are. But essentially, all objects are, they need some level of water in them. The special way in which they are cooked, the water content may be less in them. But generally when we say that, oh, this is a dry chapati, this is a dry bread. Dry, what does it mean? Now there is no softness in it. The softness has come because of the presence of some moisture within it. And when the moisture goes off, then it can't be tasted. So water is the basis of all tastes, and water is what gives taste to all items. Now, going further, this is from our experiential point of view. If we go from the Sankhya analysis point of view, then each element of material nature is associated with a particular sense object. That means, say, with respect to this, the water, which is one of the elements, earth, water, fire, air, Krishna talked about them in 7.4. This water is associated with taste, rasa. So, what does it mean? It is associated with, that means, it is that in the process of universal creation, as creation unfolds, then certain things become manifested. Just like a person may have a collapsible stick, and then, you know, as you pull and pull, then one extension of the stick appears. So like that, the creation unfolds. And when the creation unfolds, each element has a particular sense object associated with it, and that sense object unfolds through that element. The sense object that unfolds through water is taste. So in that sense, Krishna is saying that I am the taste of water. Prabhasmi Shashi Surya Yo. And the next he says is, I am the light of the sun and the moon. Both sun and moon, they are defined by, they are characterized by light. So, that light may be different in nature in the sense that sunlight is often scorching, whereas moonlight is soothing. But essentially, that these two are the prominent sources of light during the day and the night. So they are defined by their essence is the light that they emanate. And Krishna says, I am that light. Prabhasmi Shashi Suryo. The potency by which the sun and the moon are able to give light is ultimately arranged by Krishna. Pranavah sarva vedeshu. In the Vedas, there are many things that are talked about, but one of the most important things that is talked there is Pranavaha. Pranavaha is Om. It is an extremely important sound, and the concept of Om will be talked about repeatedly in the Bhagavad Gita. Several times it will come, and we will analyze it more in the future occurrences. But Om is a potent sound. Om Ittyeka Aksharam Brahma Krishna will talk about in the 8th chapter also. So Pranavah Sarva Vedeshu means that Krishna is stating here that he is the sound by which in which the potency of the Vedas is manifested in one of the greatest manifestations. So the sound of Om is considered very sacred. Om is non-different from the absolute truth. It is just a non-specific, non-descript, non-personal reference to the absolute truth, but still it's a reference to the absolute truth. And Krishna is saying that I am that Om. So the essential potency of the Vedic sound is manifested through the sound of the Om. And then Krishna says, I am that Om. So in that way he's saying that I am the essence of the Vedas also. ಶಬ್ದ ಖೇ ಪೌರುಷಂ ನೃಷು. ಶಬ್ದ ಖೇ, ಐ ಆಮ್ ಸೌಂಡ್ ಇನ್ ಇಥರ್. ದಿಸ್ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ದಟ್ ನೌ ಇಥರ್ ಇಸ್ ಅ ವೆರಿ ಸಟಲ್ ಎಲಿಮೆಂಟ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಇಟ್ಸ್ ದ ಸಟಲೆಸ್ಟ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಗ್ರಾಸ್ ಎಲಿಮೆಂಟ್ಸ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಇಟ್ಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ವೆರಿ ಈಸಿ ಫಾರ್ ಎನಿ ಒನ್ ಟು ಪರ್ಸೀವ್ ಇಥರ್. ಬಟ್ ಆಲ್ದೋ ಇಥರ್ ಇಸ್ ಡಿಫಿಕಲ್ಟ್ ಟು ಪರ್ಸೀವ್, ಸ್ಟಿಲ್ ether is one of the five elements and its essential property is that it manifests sound. It is the substratum, the medium through which sound gets transmitted. So in the Sankhya analysis of material nature, ether, as I said, each element is associated with each part, with the sound, with us, with a particular sense object. So shabda, sound, is associated with ether, and this ether is essentially characterized by its capacity to transmit sound. So in that sense, sound is the essence of ether, and Krishna says, I am sound, I am sound, and in that sense I, he is the essence of ether. And then paurusham nrushu, nrushu, nrushu is human being. Paurusha, Paurusha is the ability. Now, I am ability in man. Now, there can be different abilities which different people have. And each person is defined by his or her ability. In the Vedic culture, there were the four Varnas. And the so, the four Varnas were defined by not just birth, but by Guna Karma. So, different people have different abilities, and it is those abilities that defined those people. So Krishna is saying, I am ability in man. That means Nrushu is used here in an inclusive sense. It's not just man, but man and woman, all human beings. So Paurusham Nrushu. So whatever ability, so human beings, their essential defining essence is their essential defining quality is their ability. Okay, is this person having intellectual ability? Is this person having a administrative ability? Is this person having a money earning ability? What ability does the person have? So that's what defines people. And Krishna says that defining ability which is there in a person, I am that. So in this way, through these five examples of water, sun, moon, which comprise one example, asoham apsukonteya prabhasmi shishurayo pranavah sarvedeshu, of om in Vedas, shabda ke paurusham nrushu, of sound and of ability, Krishna conveys how he is the essence of everything. And this same analysis will continue in the future verses. Thank you.